just a quick warning that we're going to be talking a lot about death and illness and time passing by and existential dreads and bleak doom and gloom and vultures. So if you're not in the right headspace for that, then maybe skip these next few episodes. I desire to make amends.
Welcome back to another episode of A Hopeless Endeavor. We are a Joanna Newsom podcast, and this is Make Hay. I'm Sam.
I'm Nikki. Make Hay part two, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we're digging the song. We hope that you guys dig our conversation about it, and let's just dive right in.
Enjoy.
Another thought that I had too was, and this will come up again when we're talking about like before our time, as it appears later in the song, but I'm very curious about a potential theme throughout this song of like time belonging to people and like what that means and like if it's a mistake to think that way or like what the song is saying about that notion in general. So we get later, it was before our time. So there's like this possessiveness of time, but in this framing of it, I'm just curious if this might play into that theme where the line the accumulation of time brings to mind like someone hoarding it or like collecting it or like locating time as like belonging to them, as opposed to something like a little bit less. You-centric, you know,
I feel like once you... river flowing past you.
Exactly, yeah. Right, exactly. And so this is very much not in the time as a river camp. It's very much in the, like, I've accumulated this section of time that is mine.
Yes. Much more like a... with sand in it.
Yeah, an hourglass.
An hourglass, yeah.
Yes, much more like an hourglass than a river. Yeah. Totally. Oh, and sorry, one other thing I was going to say about the drug, her wheels in the clay line, and this might be a stretch, but given Rachel's really cool point about lines turning into circles no matter how hard we try, is I'm thinking about what it would look like to drag wheels through clay. It's like the person is trying to make, there's like these like straight lines that occur like in the track marks in the clay by these wheels. And so it gives us the impression of a straight line, whereas like the real thing behind it is something circular. So I don't know if that's at all something or if I'm just making that up, but that came to mind, at least given Rachel's cool analysis.
Yep, I love that. And that the act of harvest is something that's cyclical as well. You said that earlier, that, you know, if we don't collect the hay before it rains, that this entire cycle of life that we're dependent on for our survival and for our livelihood is just that point is moot. It just doesn't happen.
Right. And then later in this verse too, it's where buzzards make circles. So like it's it feels like the theme of circles versus straight lines, I think, is prominent here. And it makes me wonder too whether there was a straight line versus circle theme happening in some of the songs that we've already covered that we just missed, because we talked about circles a lot. We didn't talk about straight lines all that much, you know, other than maybe in our like discussion of the shape of time.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it in our discussion about death as a figure and like the process of dying with the Grim Reaper as like cutting into a circle versus cutting into a line or something like that, or like that the moment when the Grim Reaper takes a life as like, what are we cutting at?
Oh,
there,
yeah.
Right,
good memory. Only that last part struck a bell with me, but I very much believe you. I just don't remember. It's been too long now.
No.
But yeah, I like the idea that straight lines are fighting against circles, and particularly that like humans are, we're like trying so hard to flatten out these lines. We are very resistant to thinking of time as circular or of our lives as circular, but, mm-hmm. but like the reality, the real thing, like in Plato's cave, the real thing that is behind the shadow or the real thing that is behind the track marks in the clay is actually circular. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Okay, what do we think about where buzzards make circles and tillers make hay, a dozen in kettle committee and wake?
Well, I would not have known this if it were not for Genius, but a kettle, a committee, and a wake are all three ways of referring to groups of vultures.
Yeah, which is cool. That's, like, great. Who's coming up with these terms?
I don't know. It's amazing. Also, it makes me think of, wait, let me just pause and back up there. So buzzards is the American term for the turkey vulture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Vultures are obviously associated with death and obviously associated with flying in circles and just like hovering around something that's died.
Yes, because they're birds of prey, right? So they're either hunting or they're harvesting something that has already died.
Right. And so we're very, very associated with death and doom and gloom for that reason. Mm-hmm. It also made me think of like the diving motion that they'd have to do to get to Earth, or like not even the diving motion, but like the upwards and downwards motion of that. Like they are watching from above and mm-hmm. their life source requires movement downwards, and then they're going to go back up to look for more death and then come down. So it's very sort of on the nose, not in a bad way, with the themes of the album.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of these lines?
Yeah, I loved A Dozen in Kettle, Committee, and Wake. That was like, oh, fact of the episode. So cool.
So cool.
And then Tiller. What's a tiller? Tiller is one who tills, a cultivator, a plowman. So our connection here is buzzards make circles, tillers make hay. What are we connecting there? It's that the resolution, the like output of these circles are different or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe
they're not. I don't think about buzzards or vultures very much, but when I did today, I was like, what Disney movie unit's from? And is it yes. from? And it's from Snow White.
Yes, man. I have the exact same association. I'm like really genuinely afraid of them because of Snow White. Yes.
Yeah. They were scary.
They were scary. Totally. Yeah. Like from a very young age, I remember associating vultures with death. And I had the exact same thought. So I was like, I haven't thought about vultures in a very long time. Yeah. And I feel like it's deeply ingrained in me for some reason.
It's like on the list of like literary ways to die in the same vein as like sinking sand, like something that seemed like a real threat that we really needed to avoid because it popped up so much in like childhood literature, but has never come to fruition, thank goodness.
Yeah, quicksand is not an issue. Yeah, so like I am very curious about that comparison. So like we're buzzards make circles and tillers make hay, which is to make circles, basically, right? And so, like, the tillers are making hay to prepare for the season. But it's mm-hmm. just, like, I don't know, like, fighting against death, like, trying to survive by, like, keeping your animals alive and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I guess in that way it's different. Like tillers are making hay to preserve life, whereas actually no. Yeah, buzzards are too. Buzzards are making circles to preserve their own life so they can like go eat, even though it's very closely related to death as is ours, right? Like mm-hmm.
It's just survival.
It's survival off of death too. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's like a dependence on that cycle for both of them, right? Like the farmer needs the crops to grow, to harvest the crops, to feed the feed the cattle, to keep going and going and going, as does, as do the vultures, as do the buzzards. They need things to die to be able to live.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So there we are.
There we are.
I wanted to say the particular words, kettle, committee, and wake. So kettle made me think of the kettle and anecdotes. Will you come down before? No. Come down and join the kettles on.
Sure.
And then wake obviously made me think of Finnegan's Wake and just everything that comes along with that. And wake of a funeral, the wake of like re-arising once you've been sleeping. We talked about this maybe in the Michael Hicks episode. I can't remember exactly where that came up, but
yes, that a group of buzzards or vultures is called the wake is just the most like perfect naming of things of all time. Just great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like because they're so associated with death, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, that point evaded me for a second. Yeah, totally. Very much agree. I wonder if that's coincidental or on purpose, like from that reason.
I listened to, this podcast recently. It was a Radiolab, and it was such a good one. It was about, I'm never going to be able to explain it properly, but I'll send you the episode. It was about like these vultures, these birds of prey that were eating. So dead bodies were placed, I forget where in the world this was, at the top of this mountain or the top of this building, and vultures would eat them. And that was their cycle of life and death. That's how the bodies were passed on to the next life. That's how they were processed. And that was just what this community did. And then all of a sudden the vultures stopped eating the bodies, and the episode was about like why, and they had to like trace back the path of what stopped the vultures from eating. It was a really great episode.
That's really cool.
It was really, really cool. Let's see if I can find it. Nope.
But if you do, send it to me because that sounds very interesting.
It was a great episode.
I fucking love Radiolab, man. They're so
Radiolab is fantastic.
I like go on these like Radiolab binges that happen like once every 3 years approximately for me, and then like listen to everything that's come out in the 3 years since I walked away, and then wait another 3 years
because they're all very heavy episodes.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This was it. It's called Corpse Demon. Heaven and Hell, Judgment Day, monotheism. These ideas all come from one ancient Persian religion, Zoroastrianism, also sky burials. Zoroastrians put their dead on top of a structure called the Tower of Silence, where vultures devour the body in a matter of hours. It's clean, efficient, eco-friendly. It's how it's been for thousands of years. Until 2006, that's when a Zoroastrian woman living in Mumbai snuck up to the tower and found bodies in disarray, awful shape. The vultures were gone. And then, the whole episode's about why.
Yep, that's really cool.
Highly recommend. Good one.
On the vulture topic, too, I had this quote from Melissa Marchirano of Blessing All the Birds. And she writes that, I thought this was so cool. She writes that the presence of vultures instead of nightjars here in Make Hay says to me how much more pessimistic this song is than Time is a Symptom, although they are literally and cosmically connected. So I thought that was fascinating, that it's so true, like that we have these like light flitting around birds in Time is a Symptom and throughout Divers that is such a reflection of like the mood of those songs, especially in comparison to the mood of the heavy moodiness of this song.
Yes. And that it's the only bird mentioned, right? That vultures are the only. Yeah. I love that. It does seem very pessimistic and dark.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else for this first verse?
We talked about only skin. There's cold clay forever. How sad that was.
Oh, yes. Cold clay forever. And only skin. I was thinking of it as, you know, her like cover of the old Scottish song, Ca' the Yowes,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. I just think is the most beautiful thing in the world. But she talks about till clay cold death may blind my eyes in that song. Till clay cold death may blind my eyes. Which, oh, yeah, I have more questions about what the dotted her eyes means.
Sure.
So my question is, what does it mean? Like, why? What does it mean to dot an E-Y-E? I looked up definitions for dotted to see if that might have multiple meanings. But, like, really all I got was to mark with a small spot or spots. Yeah, obviously. And then when something can be scattered. So, like, churches dot the countryside. But that doesn't seem right because it's not like a plural thing that's being scattered. I don't know. And then dot to dot, a place that you dot over. So you need to dot the I. And then lastly, of music, it's a mark, a note or a rest to show that the time value has increased by half, which I don't know what to make of. Some sort of value increasing once you're dead or something, or like, I don't know what to make of that metaphorically if we're applying it to the song.
It has to be, for me, it has to be connected to she dotted her I's and crossed the T's. Maybe something to do with resignation, like acceptance. I don't know, because at first we're drugging our heels. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you.
Like, I would still have questions if it were just dotted her eyes, as in the letter I. But I am so curious as to why Joanna changed it to eyes in particular, like the ones we see with. It's just so interesting. Other than, like, I think you said this before, Sam, just like it brings to mind just like the closing of eyes.
Yeah, we're upon both placing our fingers gently on our eyelids and pushing them down.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So she dotted her I's. And then also cross the teasels made me briefly think of like a cross that you might make, like a makeshift cross you might make for someone who's died.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Makeshift grave of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, though.
Mm. Yeah. I also do not know.
Anything else for this one?
Did we mention that And Tillers Make Hay is in... what are they called? Where buzzards make circles and then and tillers make hay is in brackets.
Oh, in parentheses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Parentheses. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. No, we didn't. No, that's interesting. I thought you were like referring to like, I don't know, like the shape that hay, because she was like making the bracket signs with her hands.
Yes.
And so I was like, wait, like a sandwich? Like what hay oh, it does looks look like this? Yeah.
Okay, so that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Though I don't have the like official lyric book with me.
Well, there is no lyric book.
Oh, there's just no lyric book. Yeah.
There's just the YouTube video, but that was released by Drag City.
Oh, yeah. What does it say in the official? It's interesting that Drag City released a lyric video too.
Yeah I love that they did. Thank God that they did, because
it's such an interesting choice.
Yeah, it is. Oh yeah, are you looking for if to see if it's in parentheses in the video? Yeah, it is.
Here we go. When buzzards make circles. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, here was the other Walt Whitman reference I had wanted to mention. So on Genius it notes that a tiller is not only like a person who tills, it is that, but it's also a piece of farm equipment that breaks up the soil for planting.
Sure. Yeah.
But also it can refer to the offshoots of hay that grow after the first shoot grows out of the seed.
Oh boy. Okay, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's another hay reference there. And then this person noted this could also be a reference to the theme of personalism in Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I clicked on the link to go to Leaves of Grass, and I don't know what they mean by that still, but despite that, I had just wanted to read this like one verse from it just because it just seemed so on theme to me. So this is 7. I don't know how to refer to it other than 7, but he writes, Has anyone supposed it is lucky to be born? I hasten to inform him or her, it is just as lucky to die, and I know it. I pass death with the dying and birth with the new washed babe, and am not contained between my hat and my boots, and peruse manifold objects, no two alike, and everyone good, the earth good and the stars good, and their adjuncts all good. I am not an earth, nor an adjunct of an earth. I am the mate and companion of people, just as immortal and fathomless as myself. They do not know how immortal, but I know. And I thought that was really fucking on point and on brand with the birth, death, like her question asked in Time is a Symptom of like, why is the pain of birth lighter born than the pain of death? Like that mm-hmm. is the question Walt Whitman seems to be asking here or something close to it. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was maybe worth mentioning just because there's another reference that this person was alluding to that I didn't get, but I did come across this. So I don't know. Maybe there's some Walt Whitman referencing happening here.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. Where do we go from here?
Maybe to the next verse.
All righty.
You ready? Then she sings, where wind made the dust and sin made the snake and mama made us, but what did I make? Like, kill me now. What the fuck? She's so ridiculous. Love her writing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems as though this is sort of a continuation of the thought before when she's talking about where buzzards make circles. So the verse breaking up of this that we're going off of might be slightly arbitrary.
I don't really know what to say here. Like, I feel like it's a really human thing to look around you and kind of, I don't know, compare. This is a funny instance of that, but like compare other people's accomplishments, you know, like to say, first of all, to compare yourself to wind and sin and, you know, birth. It seems like a pretty big and kind of unfair thing, right? But I also think it's a little bit like, is motivational too much? Like, here's all these big things that have been accomplished, if we can even view them as accomplishments. What about me? Like, what am I up to? What am I doing?
Yeah.
How am I spending my time, my accumulated days, you know?
Right. And a lot of these things too, like, they're these things have purposes, right? So like wind made the dust. Its purpose was to like stir up some dust, which by the way, yes. calls to mind the, and every little gust that chances through will dance in the dust of me and you.
Beautiful. Joy of time. Life.
Yeah. So just, I love these little like nuggets you find of other parts and of divers in here. But that like there are these ends, these like purposes that these other things are here for. Sin, I guess its purpose was to make the snake in some sort of way. Mama's purpose was to make us. But like, what the fuck am I doing here? What is my purpose? Like, what mm-hmm. is my calling? So I get both of those, that there's like this comparison thing happening here and this pressure on yourself to like do something with your life. But also this like question within the question, which is just like, what should I be doing? What's my,
yeah.
why am I here?
It's also a weird tense, right? What did I make? Like, are right. we past death looking back and right. like counting up our bushels of teasels? Are we like, I don't know. Are we like debating birth? Are we thinking about like children? Are we? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very, very into that observation, Sam. I didn't notice that, but you're so right. Why is this in the past? Like, why is it not what am I going to make? It's what,
yeah, what
did
am I
make?
Making? Yeah. yeah. I don't know. Is it also like a question of what can you bring with you after death? Like, is it like, you know, it makes me think of the monuments in Ozymandias. Like, yes. what's left behind from my existence? What is it that people will remember?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, what, how do I make myself immortal in the way that, yeah, that like everybody was seeking to do in Sapokonikin, that mm-hmm. certainly the Ozymandias, from, based on the poems, was seeking to do. And okay, yeah. Yeah, very much agree with that. Fully agree with that. I have a lot of thoughts in my head, I think, about this one. So we have at least two Bible references here. So when we're talking about sin making the snake, in the Garden of Eden, this is a fucking terrifying thought to me personally, but in the Garden of Eden, snakes were just serpents that flew around. Like, snakes were not earthbound, and so they were just these, like, flying beasts. Mm-hmm. And the God decided to punish them and like condemned them to crawl forever on their bellies after. I'm pretty sure it was because the snake told Eve to pick the fruit. And right. so she did. And so God's punishment was like, hey, well, now you have to roam the earth forever on your belly. And so in that way, like Eve's sin resulted in snakes as we know them existing. So that is possibly what she's alluding to there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other biblical reference is that in the Bible, it in Genesis, God is described as having formed man, or like humankind, or I guess I say humankind because I'm trying to be gender inclusive, but in the Bible, it's very much not gender inclusive, as mm-hmm. we'll talk about when we're talking about Adam's ribs later on. So let me just rephrase that to say, in the Bible, God is described as forming man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Mm-hmm.
So wind makes the dust, could be referring to something like that. Michael Hicks also had a Bible quote on this front. He cites the Bible as saying, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the blood of life." And then he writes, "On a side note, the Bible passage shows a solitary act by a masculine god, but in the Greek's telling of how humans were formed, it is Prometheus who forms the clay, and accounts vary, Athena or Demeter, who breathes life into it. Mm-hmm. This then is the dirt that formed humans, which Joanna Newsom reminds us is all the same in 81.
Right.
It is dirt, and dirt is all the same.
Mm-hmm. And then Eve is made from the rib of Adam, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So we have like this distinction between man made of, I don't know, natural things, and then woman as only derived from man, at least in what I remember from when we did research on 81. So I wonder how that plays in here too. I don't have an answer for that, but.
Right. Well, I am also very curious about gender stuff in this song. One thing that I absolutely fucking love, and we talked a little bit with Michael Hicks about, just in terms of broader themes on divers, not specifically in reference to this song, I don't think. But the idea that, like, what men have the power and privilege to make and what they're remembered for making throughout history are these big events like war or statues, or, like, you know, statues that are erected to commemorate their empires or their presidencies or their, like, big influence on these on history, basically. Women aren't remembered that way, and or for those kinds of things, and tend to have this more domestic impact, right? And we see that throughout the album. Women are bound to the earth and men go out and do the exploring. And so keeping in that theme, we have Mama making not this material inert thing, but like a person, like mom makes a baby. And I just really love the idea of immortality being arrived at in these two distinct ways, one through like going out and conquering the world, and this other by staying home and doing like what has been traditionally labeled as women's work. I just really love that.
I love that. And I love that she only gives credit to Mama here too. Right. It's not Mama and Papa made us. It's Mama.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And like very fucking true, by the way. Women do all the goddamn work. Yeah, I love that. So and also Mama's being contrasted with these huge forces here. Sin, yes, and yeah, fucking wind.
Like, yes. That is my note. Singular Mama versus God, question mark. Yeah, right. But it is. Like, what a beautiful recognition of that process, right? Of that power, of that ability, of that, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
It's a huge power. And, you know, it brings to mind, too, this sort of, like, this sort of godly comparison that I think Melissa Marchirano spoke about before in Blessing All the Birds. I think it was Melissa, might have been Rachel, but the idea that like really closely related to birth and this woman's work, this kind of woman's work, is death, right? When you bring something into life, what you've done is like given that thing a death sentence. Like it wasn't gonna die before, but it is now a mortal being. That so those two things go like right hand in hand. And so this verse here seems to sort of drive home that like God-like comparison where it's like giving life just is to give death in a in a very powerful way.
Yeah. Okay. I love that.
So this is maybe relevant here. So Melissa writes, death also forces us to reckon with how we can create immortality despite mortality. Did we have a purpose while we lived? What did we make? Will people remember us by our rattling nib? How can we create meaning in our lives through the materialization of ourselves? How do we live after death? More fundamentally, it makes us contemplate those who created us and maybe even the first act of creation. In the song, the narrator moves from the creation of the universe, of humankind and its sin, and of the narrator herself, where wind made the dust, sin made the snake, and Mama made us. So it's like getting, I love her point, that it's getting from this like very broad, like the universe was created to humans and sin were created to like I was created. And now like what am I supposed to do? What's the next step in that?
Yeah, huge change in perspective.
Yes, exactly. So she continues, we briefly experience the trajectory of time itself, how the life of the narrator is a blip in the larger sequence. We experience how what we make is dwarfed by more consequential creations.
Yeah. And in that vein, how do you ever measure that? Like, how could you possibly, as an individual human, measure up to the creation of sin or dust or
the universe,
humankind, the universe?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it seems like such a ridiculous question to even pose, right?
Yeah, and I think that's part of where the strife and the struggle of this song comes from, is that like I think that this song recognizes that like there's nothing I can do, but like there's still the call to, there's still the like, well then what am I doing here? Like if there's nothing I can do that's as impactful as these things, then like what am I doing? What's the point?
Yes. Yeah. And that push and that pull between, wow, the big things. It's just like the most relatable statement, right? Like you have to do big things. You have to do all of the things. You have to juggle all the balls at once when really it's like, you know, you don't have to. You can just love. And at the end of the day, that's all there is anyway.
Yes. And I think the narrator of Make Hay does not ever take that comfort. I don't see her ever being like, and that's okay that I can't make anything that compares with these things.
Which is why it's such a funny puzzle piece in this album.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think why it's so relatable, because I think I find myself on that side, on that more pessimistic side, more often than not.
Yeah. The more pessimistic side being like, I feel the call for this all to matter in some sort of way, and it isn't seeming to. Yeah, and it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you so much on that front. There's also the what did I make question, I think, is such a thesis of this song, if a thesis can take the form of a question, because Michael Hicks made this really good point as, I think, it's hard to remember exactly, but I think that we had asked him something like, either like, what are the big things, themes on Divers, or like, what are some of the things that you would wanted to talk about more or something? And he said that like the theme of making stuff comes up over and over again on Divers. And I remember being like, oh shit, that is true. That like, especially in like Sapokonikin, we have this huge theme of making stuff and enduring. And that's just so, yeah, it's just so brought to light here. So again, tying this song back to the rest of Divers.
The three, looking back at my notes that I thankfully took while we were talking, the three major themes that he mentioned were making / counterfeiting / copying. Again, these are just like my quick notes while he was speaking, but make an impact, make art, make something that lasts, and then individual memory versus historical memory, craft versus like a mechanized process, and then a lot about copies of things, greater themes of cycles and science and progress. But yes, like, what is my art? What is my impact? What is, how am I, where is my place in the puzzle of collective memory, of historical memory?
Yeah, totally. There's also, I have this very like half-baked thought right now where, and this is inspired by something Michael Hicks says in one of the articles that I'll link to, but the word make here seems to be playing different, slightly different roles in each line. And so like where wind made the dust, the way that wind makes dust is like a very different meaning to the way that like mama makes babies. Like, like even though both can sort of be replaced with the word create, it's still, there's something very different. And Michael Hicks does something that I've fucking love about this point and questions how much agency each individual has in the making. But let's get to that when we get down to the ribs, the atoms on the ribs section. So I'll bring that up later. But there's something that sort of feels like almost cheatery in using the word make in these very different ways to mean sort of the same thing. But I'll sit on that point until we record next time.
Yeah, very simplified, very boiled down.
Yeah. Okay, is that it for this verse?
I think that's it for this verse. That's all I've got.
So thank you so much for listening to part two of our conversation on Make Hay. We're so excited to meet back up with you guys next week for part three. We have an email you should send us all your brilliant thoughts to.
hopelessendeavor@gmail.com.
Exactly.
We'd love to hear from you about Milk-Eyed Mender. That's what we're jumping to next. I love that album so much. I don't know. Do you think about what was I going to say? The dragon? Prince whatever in the dragon? Do you think about Sadie? What do you think about all of those things? The Side of the Blue? Tell us. We'd love to know.
Tell us your thoughts. We definitely would love to know. And it's never too early. Like, even if you have only something to say about Clam Crab Cockle Carrie, send it now and we'll try to remember to bring it up then. So definitely send us your thoughts on that. Sam does an amazing job running our Instagram. You can check out the link tree there. The Instagram is a Hopeless Endeavor podcast.
It sure is. And our link tree is lanktr.ee/ahopelessendeavor. There's everything you could ever need on there. Do you need our Patreon? It's there. Do you need Instagram? Do you need Michael Hicks articles? Do you want to listen to the incredible intro outro beats that David creates for us? Go find it there.
Find it there. Do you want to leave us a voicemail?
Yes, please.
We would love it. Speaking of our Patreon, Sam and I are about to do a palate cleanser from this very heavy content, and we are going to record a Joanna Newsom Jeopardy episode right now for our patrons to listen to. I am going to be the what's that guy's name? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm fucking blanking on this Canadian guy's name who I loved so much, and he just recently died.
He did. Alex Trebek.
Trebek, yeah, thank you. Alex Trebek. I'm going to be the Alex Trebek and Sam is going to be the contestant. And I'm so fucking excited because I made this whole
very low scoring round, but I'm ready for it.
I made it all today. It was the most fun ever. And also, you guys, I can't promise this, but we, I think, have decided. I showed my partner the Jeopardy that I'd made because I was so proud of it. And he was like, oh my God, can I make one? And then you guys can like both play and I'll be the Alex Trebek. And I was like, yes. So I think that that's going to be a future Patreon Great. Episode.
Love in that. Any case, that's fun.
I will link to the Patreon in the show notes, but it's just patreon.com/ahopelessendeavor. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook.
Yep. A Hopeless Endeavor. Do you want to do some podcast? You can come hang out with us there. We've had lots of people join recently. Yeah. That's it, I think.
That's it. All right. So we will see you next time for part 3 of this gorgeous song, Make Hay.
Thanks so much Bye. For listening.